You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
It's KoopaCast number 65, X Marks the Spot. I am your host, for now and always, Matt Paxton, the Multimedia Manager here at PNM and PureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. I am joined by three other panelists today. I am joined by Alex Schranke.
Hey, everybody.
And the dynamic duo, Justin and Caitlin Sharp.
Hey, everyone.
And if you haven't guessed by all of the monitors behind me, we're talking about a little game called Xenoblade X. If you noticed, we had a cover reveal just a few days ago. And we're going to be covering the Monolith Soft title for the Wii U. So if you have any questions for us as we move along this podcast, you can always tweet me, Purely Matt, or Pure Nintendo using the hashtag KoopaCast. Now, without further ado, everyone's caught up with the all of the Xenoblade X news, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
That's good, because, I mean, it came out, like, it was trickle here and there, even a year ago, but then all of a sudden, it was like, we're getting a flood of information. Like, trailer after trailer after trailer, and there's a lot to talk about. So, I guess we can go ahead and start with, like, what, exploration, right?
Yeah, exploration sounds good.
Now, this place is really huge. There's about five continents, it looks like. There's like an ice world, a jungle world, there's plains, there's like a canyon, and there's like a lava world. And so it looks like there's going to be definitely a lot to explore, both humans and using these giant robots called dolls. Now, exploration was a pretty big part of Xenoblade Chronicles for the Wii. But this one definitely feels like, you know, so much bigger. So, I mean, is anyone, like, really looking forward to that? Or is anybody, like, dreading the amount of exploration that could possibly be in this Wii U title?
I'm really looking forward to getting lost in it. Especially being able to fly around. That's going to be so cool, taking in all the sights. It's definitely going to be a lot of eye candy. Very excited.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. I mean, it'll be daunting because it's going to be that much bigger than... Didn't they say it was a 5 or 10 times bigger than Xenoblade?
It's about 10 times bigger.
Okay. So, yeah, and for those of you who played Xenoblade, it's massive. So it is a little daunting, but I think they've added a lot of cool stuff, like the... what are those little waypoints that you can set out?
I think they're just nav points, really.
Nodes or something like that.
Yeah.
And what's cool in the most recent trailer, I think you can see, like, when you set a node, there's like a camera that goes up in the air, and then you can use the gamepad to look around, it looks like.
That's actually something that you carry with you all the time. It's like something like Nothon Orb or something.
Okay.
And yeah,
is that the same thing that links to do the tracking? Like, it follows in front of you, like leading you to different waypoints?
I think, yeah, it should be about the same thing. Okay. Again, both of those things are carried with you, unlike, like, the sat-nav points.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting. It's going to be huge.
But that's a good thing to bring up. It kind of, it looks like that this particular exploration aspect is going to be much more on you than it was in the previous title. In the previous title, you went everywhere, but, like, at waypoint discover, something like that. But, like, here's a place where you can quick travel to, and there's, like, some here and there. This one, there definitely seems like it's much more on you to make sure you set up fast travel points.
Yeah, which I like because it's like you're on this unknown world, this uncharted world. So it's like, hey, if you want to get around quickly or, you know where you're at, it's up to you to chart it and, you know, go around. So I like that it's on you to do that sort of stuff.
Actually, it's on the Wii U.
Oh, yes.
I think it'll be good because you'll be able to customize it to your play style. So, you know, anytime you can get more customization, the better.
Yeah.
That's very true. And it definitely looks like exploring also is going to yield a lot more rewards this time around. You know, you can get little certain minerals here and there. You know, there might be a secret marker or something like that. So it's much more integrated. In fact, there's a whole class dedicated to exploration. One of the little blade classes that you can get, I believe there are 9 of them, and one of them is just solely for exploration.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely seems like it's a lot more, what would you call it? Integrated. Exploration is a lot more integrated into the experience of Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Yeah.
Looks like it's definitely more like motivates you more to explore as well. Get rewards and stuff. Because in the first one, you could explore, but there wasn't very much motivation to do it instead of just going to the story or getting leveling up.
Yeah. They have like some side quests, some bosses you could fight, but for the most part, you know, it's like you would see the waypoints as you're going in the story, but yeah, there's not a whole lot you could see off the beaten path, so to speak.
That's true. Xenoblade Chronicles.
As big as Xenoblade Chronicles world was, it's fairly guided as you're going through it, you know? Like you kind of start at the bottom, work your way up by Onis, cruise across the sword. I'll try not to spoil everything, but.
Oh, we forgot to say that, didn't we?
Yeah. Did we say we're going to spoil it? Are there going to be spoilers?
I might as well say it now. Spoiler alert. Sometimes we may say something that's very, very essential to the plot of Xenoblade Chronicles.
Okay. So
if you don't want to know about it, you better tune out right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, cruising across the swords, you know, end up, there's an event that you end up, you know, down in between, you know, at the base of both of them now, and then you have to work your way up to Makanis. Then you have to eventually go back to the Bionis and then up to the top. So, but it was fairly guided, if you know what I mean. Like
the
places you were going, it was telling you where to go for the most part. So, like Katie was saying, there wasn't a whole lot of incentive to cruise around unless you were like, oh, here's this level 85 super boss I want to fight, or you know.
Yeah,
like it's more integrated, like you said.
The Bionis leg in Xenoblade Chronicles is definitely the best example that the game had in terms of exploration, because you can kind of go anywhere, but there are higher level monsters in certain areas, but you didn't know that until you got there. So it definitely seems like Xenoblade X is going to be like the Bionis leg, but all the time.
Yeah, I love speaking of the Bionis leg, when you first get into that big area, big open field. You know, with like the cliffs coming in from the left and right, and you start seeing some of the monsters, and you like pass like some that are level 80. You're like, what? How am I even seeing these? You know, I'm only at level 5 or 10 or whatever. So I thought that was cool how they put like those impossible goals there, you know, kind of interspersed as you're going through the world, just to let you know, hey, there's some crazy stuff as you explore and come back to.
Yeah, and it's that nice Metroid style where you don't know where you're going, but if you go here, you're probably going to get destroyed if you don't know what you're doing. You know, that's always a plus in my book.
Yes.
And another thing that Xenoblade Chronicles had a little bit, and I wish they did much more of, they had these things called surprise quests, where when you entered an area, all of a sudden you stop. It says surprise quest. You know, go do this. They had a couple in the Bionis leg where you had to protect somebody from like these Volifs. And then they had the most in Sword Valley where you had to like take out these little Mechon like commanders or whatever. Like you'd enter the area and it goes, surprise quest, you know, there's this guy right in the area. Really helped the war effort if you killed him. And so I'm really hoping that we see much more of that in Xenoblade Chronicles X. It would definitely like encourage people to explore a lot more, I think.
Yeah. And just talking about the scope of the game, exploration-wise, what was it? I mean, I probably spent 70 hours going through just like the main storyline in Xenoblade Chronicles, not really even straying far from the path. I mean, you could easily spend 100 hours just going through the main plot in Xenoblade Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
But with the sequel, what was it they were saying? Was it 300 hours?
Right. The director, Takahashi, said that one of his files is over 300 hours of gameplay.
Yeah, which is just nuts. I mean, like, I wonder how much of that is, you know, just like exploration. Is that, you know, storyline plus some of the online, you know, co-op missions? Or it's just mind-boggling.
I mean, it's probably everything. I mean, I've spent over almost 200 hours in Xenoblade Chronicles, and I haven't 100% of that game at all. Not even close.
No.
Oh, and just moving on from exploration a little bit, you know, we were talking about the other things that you could do. One of the big things in Xenoblade Chronicles was side questing. And the basic levels of side questing were like, go kill five monsters or go collect, you know, five Bang Star Wings or whatever. But then it just kind of got deeper and deeper into that. Like, oh, we need this, you know, for this specific purpose. And there was like a little mini storyline for each of them. And that kind of like encourages the player to, you know, get involved and just go side questing a lot more. It definitely seems, I mean, they haven't really talked about it too much in Xenoblade Chronicles X, but it definitely seems like that's going to be back, but in full force. The main hub area, New LA, or Neo LA, I don't know how they're going to translate it over here. Mm-hmm. It seems much, much bigger than any of the towns. It's probably like bigger than all the, I don't know, what would you call it, all the towns in Xenoblade Chronicles combined.
Probably. I mean, it almost seemed like, what's the city that Melia was from?
Alkemoth?
Yeah, it seemed like that in scale, but even in Alkemoth, you didn't get to explore much of it. It was pretty, you know, you kind of had the palace, and there's one little arm that you go up, but...
Yeah, there's like the lower level, the upper level, and then there's the corridor into the palace, and then two branching paths.
So it looked big, but it really wasn't as, you know, it wasn't much to do there, I guess.
Right, it wasn't filled. But it definitely had, like, some of my favorite side quests anyway. Because there was like a couple, like, oh, we're researching these ruins, and that'll help us explain the past of the Bionis. I'm like, all right, cool, more story, let's do this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have no doubts that Xenoblade Chronicles X is going to have that. Considering, yes, there is another Blade faction that you can join that just specifically deals with quests and solving the quarrels of people in Neo LA. Mm-hmm. So, and, of course, the Affection Chart is back as well, which is, if you played Xenoblade Chronicles, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't, there's like a web of people that you meet, and it describes their real relationships. So, like, here's two brothers, and they hate each other. But then there's this old woman, and she only loves one of her kids, but hates the other kid, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like that, but again, it's going to be on a much, much larger scale. I think it's going to be good, but I don't know how – I think there might be, like, a double-edged sword to that. Considering there might be, like, too many people or too many things to do that you might just kind of, like, you know, get discouraged and go, oh, whatever, I'm just going to go move on with the plot or something like that. Like, there might be too many people to, like, really kind of care about it. But, like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, to me, it almost seems like they're setting it up so that you can kind of go about the game and play it the way you want to. Mm-hmm. So if you're someone who really, really enjoys the exploration, well, there's a class for that you can do it. If you enjoy the stories from the side quests, there's a class for that. And I think that's good. It might be a nightmare for a completionist, but if you just want to focus on one thing you really enjoy, then it'll cater to that specifically. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, the affinity system, I admit I didn't do a whole lot of them in Xenoblade Chronicles. Like, when there was some sort of, like, meetup point, I'd be like, yeah, sure, let's go ahead and do that. Because you'd have some fun dialogue between the characters. But I didn't do a lot of the other ones where you're trying to, you know, connect brothers up or, you know, build these relationships around. But I like that it's there, and like Alex said, if there's people that, you know, they love that system, you know, it sounds like an X is just going to be that much more engrossing. So, I mean, you could just spend hours and hours, you know, just getting lost in the world, you know, not just the affinity system, but the exploration, just, I mean, just flying around in a mech is just going to be really cool, so...
But yeah, you know, with the classes, it looks like it's going to focus it more towards those things that you like, and for those people who don't really want to go do every little, you know, thing, are going to have much more fun just going through classes that they like. I think that's going to benefit a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say you're probably right about that. I mean, now that I think about it, I've never actually gone through like a playthrough of Xenoblade Chronicles without really getting like side questing, simply because that was so essential to me leveling up my characters enough to like fight some of these unique monsters or get like the little special equipment. Like, I know when I had to go fight some of the really special unique monsters or whatever, I had to get these certain gems, and the only way to get that was to like, you know, 5-star, you know, this colony or whatever, and I had to go do a bunch of side quests. So it just seemed like that much more essential. So I am kind of hoping that you guys are right, and that it's a little bit more optional. Like, you know, you don't want to deal with people in New LA? Okay, let's go explore. You want to explore? Let's go fight some monsters, you know. So I hope it is that much more, like, optional, like you guys are saying.
Yeah, almost like, you know, like a tree. You know, you've got, in a lot of games now, you have, like, those skill trees, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, hey, you pick this path, you know, and unlocks more abilities that are going to be more stealth-related or, you know. If you're playing like an RPG or something. But it seems like in Xenoblade, you can kind of pick your path, and maybe you have like percentages for each. So you pick this class and someone like blows through it. They're like, wow, that was awesome. I did 100% of the quests for this class. Maybe I'll go try some of the other ones. So maybe you can, you know, like you said, hopefully it's optional to where you could play through and enjoy the game, you know, maybe in one or two classes, kind of swapping around. And then still be able to go back and have almost like a whole new experience to the game, you know, playing with a different class. So.
Yeah, and if I remember right, you can switch to a bunch of classes on the fly.
Yeah, like, yeah, I think they did say that.
Mm-hmm. And they can even do that with skill trees, too. Or, like, not skill trees, sorry. It's like an arts tree. It looks like a skill tree, but it's with different arts.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. I think that's something that Xenoblade Chronicles did well with the skill tree, which is like, you're going down this path, but you can also go down to this path later. Like, they're not penalizing you for not choosing other paths. They're like, oh, you can come back to this, you know, whatever you want.
Yeah. Almost like in, you know, Hyrule Warriors kind of had some of that where you're like, oh, I want to upgrade my weapon, you know, abilities versus, you know, more of the defensive options in those trees. But yeah, hopefully it doesn't penalize you. It looks like it'll just, you know, yeah, you can build this up, and later on you can get some weapons that are more tailored to, you know, some other side.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of just, you know, fighting a little bit, you guys have definitely, like, absorbed enough of the fighting tutorials, right?
I'd say so. Mm-hmm. I mean, just from gameplay videos, we watched the Japanese Direct. Like a week ago or something, a week and a half ago. I guess it was last week. We didn't pick up much of the Japanese, but we saw a lot of cool gameplay stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. One of the biggest changes here is there are, I mean, you get both ranged and melee attacking arts and, you know, automatic attacks, mm-hmm. which really interestingly changes it up. And again, kind of goes along with the theme of, you can choose whatever you want, but we're not going to penalize you for not choosing the other thing. So you're getting both, you know, like I said, you're getting both ranged and melee, and you just switch on the fly back and forth depending on your range.
Yeah. Well, I did notice that even in the overview trailer this morning, it showed the your main avatar guy, and he was attacking like this bowl type monster.
Mm-hmm.
And he was shooting it at first, and then like he comes up to it, he hits it with his sword or whatever, and then he backs up again and he starts shooting again. So yeah, I like that seamless transition. I wasn't paying enough attention to see if the bull still did the bull still do damage even when he was far away, like even if his attacks weren't hitting him, or was it more likely for the bull to miss him or something if he's doing more long range attacks?
Let's see. I think it was that you don't get attacks if they don't have a long range attack, then they're not going to long range attack you. But
okay.
I mean, I guarantee that there's going to be like a lot of the later monsters, especially the mid levels, they're going to have like both ranged and close up attacks.
Yeah.
Even if they don't look like it, like if you've all seen the trailer, you've seen that one where even though they're running away from this giant monster, he manages to pick up a boulder and hurl it like 100 feet just to take you out.
Yeah. Hey, did you see some of the crazy monsters they showed off? They're like those two lava giants.
When you were fighting in the dolls.
Yeah, I think they're in the dolls. They're kind of flying around, but I mean they were probably, I mean, to scale it would probably be like 300 feet tall or more, I would say. Just like these massive lava golem things.
Yeah, and that's another thing we needed to talk about was the dolls and how everything seems to be integrated. For both humans and dolls, even the monsters, you can fight on foot, and you can have your buddies fight on dolls, but you can still get like little defense bonuses, like, or at least that was the example that was shown to us. Was they're all in dolls, and you get like a 20, 40, 60% defense bonus just from them being in the dolls, which I thought was definitely a great integration. Like, if you don't want to fight in them, but you don't want to feel left out, you know, you still got that. It doesn't feel like you're like the vulnerable one, like you're the, you know, piece of tissue paper and all this.
Yeah, you brought a knife to a gunfight or something.
A knife to a giant robot fight or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It just seems like there's going to be a lot of different strategies implemented in this, so there won't be just like one. Okay, this is the ultimate strategy to defeat this monster. You know. I like the idea that there's probably going to be multiple ways to go about tackling a monster. Yeah. So it's all about finding what works with you.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely one of the things in Xenoblade Chronicles, which I'm glad they're following through with Xenoblade Chronicles X. It's just all the different ways, all the different strategies you can come up with. And I guarantee there will be a lot of strategies. If you guys look on YouTube right now and just see like people defeating like some of these monsters, they're at like level 20 and the monster's at level 90 or whatever, and they're just still killing it somehow.
Yeah.
It also looks like the dolls are customizable too, so it looks like they have a different weapons and range as well.
I like the six. What was the one that like came over the back and had like six lasers something?
Oh, right. The special weapon where you can get or you can find blueprints for and just kind of assemble it on your own.
Yeah. And it looks, I hope there's just a lot of different weapons that you can build or customize or craft. And I absolutely love when we were watching the video and they showed that you can change the color of the dolls. I was like, that's amazing. Because like even you could change like different colors on different pieces of it, you know, like you could change like the guns or, you know, like the accent color to something different. Like, oh, it's just gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be like Mobile Suit Gundam, except you get to build your own personal mech. It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's like who doesn't want to build like a giant customized mech robot thing? I mean, that's just awesome.
I don't want to meet that person who doesn't want to do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't want to think they exist somewhere.
I do hope though they do come out with another trailer for the dolls, because while we saw there was a lot of customization in terms of like what the doll can look like, what kind of model you can get, like an agility model, a defensive model, or like a balanced model, I guess. One thing they didn't show off are like what types of weapons, like how many types of weapons you can get. Like when we saw on foot, we saw there's like the spear, the shield, the guns, the rifles, you know, the pistols, the daggers, the swords. And, you know, they showed like all of those in there, and for the dolls they showed like all the different slots and what you can put in those slots, but they didn't seem to hint too much past that. So I'm sure they did put in as much thought into these dolls' combat as they did with the humans, but I'm just hoping to see more before the game releases.
Yeah. And that's just in like 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks from today?
Well, not for us, but
yeah.
Who knows when we're getting it? I hope it's sometime soon, but for as massive as this game is, I don't know. I couldn't even begin to estimate.
Yeah.
Hey.
So let's see. We covered exploration. We covered a little bit of the combat. Is there anything like special you guys wanted to like that, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles wasn't quite up to snuff on that you hope they kind of put into Chronicles X?
I would say the biggest thing was just visuals. You know, I mean the visuals were great in Xenoblade Chronicles, but you know, it was a tail end of the Wii's life. So if you were a Wii-only gamer, you're constantly surrounded by games that are, you know, a lot higher visual fidelity. You know, 360, PS3, PC gamers are like, oh, you're still playing that Wii, whatever, you know. So it's nice to have that visual upgrade. And the game looks amazing. I mean, Chronicles looked awesome, too. Like, I still love that intro sequence, you know, seeing the sunset and kind of that cycle through the day with the music. I mean, it just sets the tone for the game really well. And just the scope, going through the world, I mean, they did a good job. Just the draw distances, I mean, for what the Wii was capable of, they pushed it to its limit. But I think that's probably the biggest thing that I would say needed to be improved on.
I definitely agree with that. The game didn't look too bad. The cutscenes look good, but then there's like certain nuances, like I guess a bit of a spoiler, how like half spoiler. I'll try to like keep it tone it down. But there's a scene where like Melia, like she starts crying, but the only reason you know that is because like the captions will tell you, and then she's like making like crying noises, I guess. But when they close up on her face, you know, it's just a static, you know, a static face. Like there's no tears or anything like that. And that kind of definitely like disconnected me from the experience. It's like, yeah, I guess I know she's crying, but I, you know, I guess I couldn't render tears or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you're trying to create this emotional moment, and it, yeah, it can sometimes take you out of it. I don't know, I'm trying to think of other things.
An interesting thing, I forgot to touch on it when we were talking about the combat, but to get time to go ahead and revisit it, there's not going to be, like, a dedicated healer in Xenoblade. Like, you can heal, but it's usually through, like, buffs or through Burst Affinity. Oh, I can't. Oh, they call it Soul Voice in this new game. But it's basically Burst Affinity, and that's how you heal. So.
That'll be interesting. I don't think it's a bad thing, necessarily. It's going to make battles a little different, but like you said, with the ranged versus the melee combats, I mean, it may render the point moot. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to say, because I mean, in Xenoblade Chronicles, there's a medic named Sharla, and she's like the dedicated healer. She can heal you for a lot. She can heal the party for a lot. She can shield you and stuff like that. And she was really useful, like my first playthrough. But in my second playthrough, like I just knew enough strategy and perks to like I didn't need her. Like as soon as Dunban came in, you know, Charlotte was on the outs. You know, let's move on. And like Shulk kind of became the healer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing Xenoblade Chronicles X is going to have like more methods besides just the soul voice, you know, just to keep healing, because with the soul voice, where it's good, they also have a thing in there where it's going to get harder every time in that same battle. So whereas like the ring is going to go like a little bit slow, go slowly, it's just going to start getting faster and faster and faster for every time like you do a successful soul voice. It's not even going to be easy every time.
Yeah, I like that they're mixing it up. I mean, it seemed like in the Fur and Xenoblade Chronicles, it would still mix it up sometimes, right? It would speed up or slow down, I think. Or was it always the same? Maybe it was just frame rate. I don't know.
Sometimes it would speed up. Like it speeds up after every like successful chain link. I know that much.
Yeah.
If it does slow down, sometimes it is frame rate because it's throwing my timing off sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, because occasionally it was a frame rate, some sort of glitch like that, but yeah, now that I think about it, those chain attacks would mix it up a little bit more.
Now, another question I had, and it just kind of occurred to me, Xenoblade Chronicles, it was kind of sort of friendly to like a casual gamer. I don't know how to explain that. But I remember my first time picking up Xenoblade Chronicles, I had to have my friend kind of explain to me like all these stats, because there's, you know, there's talking about buffs or debuffs, and there's like, you know, there's a bunch of like stats I've ever seen. I usually see like when an RPG or a JRPG, it's like strength, agility, defense, magic defense, and you're good to go. And this one's got like a lot more, and like I had to like read up on things like drawing aggro and aggro rings and stuff, and figure out how that works. And when I figured it out, it was a lot more enjoyable. But I'm wondering, from what I've seen of Xenoblade Chronicles X, if this is going to be even less friendly than Xenoblade Chronicles was.
That's possible.
It feels like it's going to be.
Yeah, it feels pretty in-depth. But, I mean, like, some of the stuff, they really introduce it well, even in Xenoblade Chronicles. Like, I can remember in the beginning, I never played a lot of the RPGs, you know, where you had aggro. Like, I never really got into WoW or, you know, some of those that, like, aggro was really big. Like, you needed to, you know, really study up on the aggro rings if you were going to, you know, some 40-man raid or something like that. And you needed some guy to tank, or, you know, you got your healers, all this stuff. I never got into that depth of it. So even from my perspective, I guess I was a little more casual on that side of things. But the game introduces those concepts fairly well. The buffs and debuffs, not so much in the tutorials, but the aggro and like, hey, you know, these enemies will attack you just based on sight or sound or, you know, those different types of things. So I'm hoping there's just that many more tutorials in the new one. And if you're a veteran, you can skip them, cool, whatever, but you know, hopefully there's tutorials for the new people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Chronicles, they had like a little sidebar you can access in the menu, and it goes over like, here's how Shulk works, here's how Ryan works, here's how Dunban works. But it was like only like a 2-3 page thing. Like, I had to read up on more than that just to figure it out. Like, I still don't even understand everything they were talking about in that game, and I'm like reading the gem stats or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that they get into it a little bit easier. I can only remember like a couple times where they were like in game brought up like characteristics. Like, they talked about like when Ryan was introduced, like they really like talked about like, this guy can take a lot of hits, so let him take a lot of hits, you know. And then when Charlotte came in there, she's like, I'm a medic, you know, and Ryan's like, great, I need people to heal me all the time.
Yeah.
So, but they kind of stopped after that. They didn't really go that much deeper into it. Like, here's Dunban, he's super cool, and let's keep going.
Yeah.
Here's Melia, she can use magic. And then here's Ricky.
Yeah.
All right, here's Akamoth, you know.
Yeah. Here's Ricky, he's just here for a comedic effect.
Yeah, they didn't really explain Ricky at all.
Yeah.
Which, that's actually another shortcoming, I guess, in terms of, you know, being able to explain like a character's capabilities. Because at least with the other ones, you know, you saw what they can do. You played as Dunban, so you kind of know what he's capable of. You saw Melly use like Mind Blast, so you know she does like ether stuff. But when Ricky, he just kind of shows up, and then he's kind of there, and you kind of have to play with him to know like, oh, he, you know, he inflicts a lot of status effects.
Yeah.
And he helps your party out. He's kind of like a secondary healer. And he can fill up your party gauge. Like, there's no way I would know that unless I played as him. Yeah. Actually, there's no way I'd know that unless like Tristan convinced me that I should play as Ricky.
Yeah, I actually remember using Ricky for some boss because he had those status effects. And so I think I was using poison or something like that. Just because it would constantly get those, you know, get the HP down. And he still had some decent attacks, and he ended up working out more effective than at least the method I was using with Ryan or Dunban in there. So I pretty much always have Shulk, though. Like, Shulk is my main go-to.
Oh, yeah, because of that Monado.
Yeah, I mean, how can you bench the Monado bear? I mean, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, especially once you get some of the later powers, like, you need those powers.
Yeah.
And that's actually a good thing to bring up, because the Monado in itself was a combat aspect in that game. It gave you visions of the future that, like, it'll show you, like, a 5-second clip of, like, a monster, like, killing one of your party members.
Yeah.
And then it'll have a counter, like, you have this many turns to try to change the future so your friend doesn't die. And I've kind of, like, almost relied on it, I guess. So I'm wondering if they're going to do anything like that in Xenoblade Chronicles X to, like, if things could go, without the Monado, things could go downhill really fast without you realizing it, unless you're really paying attention. Because there were a couple times where it's like, it didn't tell me that something terrible was going to happen, and then it did, and then it just wiped my entire party. And I was 10 minutes into that fight, and I wasn't happy at all.
Yeah.
So
that was that the fight inside the heart of the Bionis?
Can't explain it right now.
Okay.
But that's the thing. Xenoblade Chronicles X, it was a great battle system, but if things started going downhill, you know, you have to make sure you're on top of that, because it can go downhill fast, and if you don't catch it in time, you're already done, and there's nothing you can do about it. And so I'm really hoping there was, like, a tell or something like that, like, oh, he's going to do a big attack, you know. Everybody get into some kind of defensive power or whatever. Yeah. So that's something I'm hoping it happens in Xenoblade Chronicles X.
What about the online aspect?
Oh, we haven't talked about the online. Alex and I were just talking about that for like 10 minutes before the KoopaCast. Yeah. So I must have got it all out. So yes, there are going to be some online aspects. We finally got a little bit more clarification of what they meant by 32 online play, in which here you can get a squad of people. And you can kind of go for similar goals, like you have to kill X many monsters or collect some items, and that kind of, like, you know, raises your, like, rank or whatever. And it's a good communication system. In Xenoblade Chronicles, they're like, you get little collectibles throughout the world, like a black liver bean or what, something like that. Mm-hmm. And there's some of them are super rare. If you don't know where to go, you'll never get them. And so the squad system kind of alleviates that, where if you find, like, a super rare material, you know, you post a marker and you write the comment, hey, if you need this, you can find it here. And, you know, other people are like, great, I'll go pick it up. And they did. And everybody's happy. And you can do, like, little trades. You can put up items up. And if two people pick it up, you know, there's, like, a little lottery of who wants it. But that's just the 32 squad member play. Oh, and one more thing, of course. I forgot to mention the most important thing of all, which is the more you do these little squad quests, you unlock more exclusive squad quests, which are, like, defeat these giant, they call them world monsters. So they're like unique monsters, but super tough. They're like the super bosses, basically, of Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Nice.
Now, there's no word on whether or not these super bosses are only through these, like, squad fights, or if you can get them through, you know, playing by yourself. You know. So what are your thoughts on these, like, these squad super bosses or whatever, even the squad system?
I like it how it's going for kind of like a Monster Hunter vibe. It seems like it's more cooperative than it is, you know, doll against doll. Is what I initially was thinking, oh, that's probably what it's going to be. Like, you know, you'll build your own custom mech and have them battle each other. So I like the idea of working together. It's not done enough in online play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, co-op play is big. Like, I mean, when you get together with friends, it's fun to do some competitive stuff, like Smash Brothers or Mario Kart, or, you know, you can, it's competitive, but it's still fun, where, you know, even if you're losing, you're still having fun, you know, whereas if you're doing, like, competitive, like, first-person shooter or something like that, you know, it gets frustrating if you're losing a lot. So it's nice when you're playing with a group of friends and you're playing together, like, you know, hey, you know, circle around the boss and get him on the backside. This, your weapon does better, you know, on that side, and could potentially, what are the things in Xenoblade Chronicles where it could, like, topple? You had topple effects.
Mm-hmm.
Or break and topple, right?
Yeah, break, topple, and then there's also daze.
Yeah, and daze. So, I don't know, just working together and doing that. Did they mention, like, voice chat at all?
See, I was waiting till you finished to bring that up. Nobody's mentioned voice chat yet.
Yeah.
And you think it'd be common sense, but we also thought it was common sense when it comes to Splatoon. Yet that won't have voice chat at all.
Yeah.
So there's no word if we're going to see a voice chat on here at all. Hmm. And that's another thing you talked about, which was we're talking about these world bosses and these squads and, like, borrowing party members and stuff like that. But at no point has anybody actually said, you know, everybody has to be online at the same time. I don't know. It, to me, in the beginning, it sounded like with Hyrule Warriors, you can help, like, somebody who's just has a profile on there. But really, the AI takes control of the character. So I'm not actually sure how all that's going to work. And yeah, I hope they qualify into a later thing. I do hope it's going to be, like, a live player experience, because it really, like, they really seem to be, like, they really, it seems like they want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, hopefully we get more news. Hopefully you can have live multiplayer. You know, that it seems to be hinting that way, but I can very well see it go, like, another way.
Yeah. And, like, what's cool about, you know, now that we're on the Wii U, we're in this new cycle of, you know, updates. There's downloadable updates for all the games now, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Xenoblade Chronicles, you got the game, that's it. You know, there's no updates or anything. There's no support after the launch. So I'm excited to see what they do with X. I mean, potentially they could add voice chat even post-launch, you know, or some other features like, I think in Japan there was actually an update recently, right? There was like a 10 gigabyte update. So remember, it was like 2 months ago they announced that you could preload Xenoblade X, right?
Yeah.
And it was like 25 gigabytes or something ridiculous. Well, I think it was just like last week or week before that, there was an update to that preloaded install. And it was like 10 gigabytes. And they said it was supposed to help loading in the game. So maybe they, you know, put more textures, or, you know, whatever, more assets on there, because 10 gigs is a ton of data. So maybe they just loaded more on there, so that way when you're going to a different continent or something, it doesn't take as long to load it, maybe.
Pretty interesting, because, I mean, they already said to download that you should download it just to help out with the loading times.
Yeah. I'll look up the update here.
But, I mean, all this kind of culminates into, like, one final question I had for you all regarding Xenoblade X. And the question is, do you think that there might be such thing as too much when it comes to this game? Like, are you worried that there's too much here and that they didn't focus on enough? Or that there's too much here and that, you know, it's just going to be frustrating?
I think as long as everything is deep and intricate enough, mm-hmm. I am afraid it is going to be too big, but that's what I know that going in, I'm going to have to focus on, like, one or two things that I really want to do. So as long as they don't, you know, skimp out on it, it's better to have something, a few things really well done than to have a whole bunch of stuff and, you know, it's not as deep, or I guess is the way I'm going.
Yeah.
I think it's probably too much, but I'm okay with that. I'll focus on a couple of things. As long as it's all really well done, that's what I'm trying to communicate.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, I mean, with the new Zelda game being open world and you kind of want the world to feel alive, right? You want there to be a lot to do, but not just like little items to pick up every 20 yards you walk, you know. You want there to be meaningful tasks that you're doing, you know, all over this world. You don't want like to be running for an hour and not encounter anything of importance, you know. So kind of my hopes for the new Zelda, I have the same hopes for Xenoblade X, where I want that living, breathing world where it's like, you know, I could play for an hour and think I'm going to get more in the story, but it's going to take me 2 hours just to, you know, explore this huge canyon I found, or, you know, some crazy forest or whatever.
That's very true. Is everyone satisfied with their thoughts on Xenoblade X before we move on to reader questions?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Absolutely excited for that game. I cannot wait. Like, as soon as the information really started coming out, I can't wait. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and switch gears with this reader question in a little bit. And the question is, how do you like Mewtwo's implementation in Super Smash Bros. For Wii U?
That's a good question. Have any of us played the time to play?
I can't find my copy of the 3DS. I was looking for that today.
Oh. Well, I did download the DLC today, mm-hmm. but I played like about a minute of it. it was lunch, and I was like, I'll just play a little bit. I'll download it. And so, he has a lot of the same moves, like, you know, the down B where he kind of does that little daze move, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's still intact. I mean, his up and A move seems similar. I barely played him. I mean, I didn't even do his smash attack. But
so is he still kind of floaty, like he never really touches the ground?
Yeah.
Like yes. Very floaty. He does like that backflip, you know, when he jumps, that you know, type of thing. But yeah, I mean, he seems like Mewtwo. So Mewtwo people should be happy.
Yeah.
People who didn't like his invitation before may not be happy.
Does he still sound like an old man? Because I always thought he sounded like an old man in like Melee when you get knocked around.
Yeah. I don't know.
I can't remember. He seems mostly silent this time from what the footage I've seen, the very few footage I've seen.
Mm-hmm. I gotta find the game and download it because that's going to bother me now. I know it's like the weirdest thing, but he totally sounded like an old dude in Melee when he got sent flying out of the stage.
Yeah, right.
It was just a whoa!
Yeah.
And speaking of Mewtwo, we are going to give away a code during this show right here.
Oh.
Surprise update, even for me. So, here's the code, everybody. A0811YY3 0S H 4 5 J 6 X. And that code will get you Mewtwo for the 3DS.
Ooh. So better hop on it, folks. That's pretty sweet.
I'll give that code to you one more time. A0811Y Y 3 0 S H 4 5 J 6 X. And there you have it.
Get on it, people.
Exactly. And then you can tell us your thoughts on how Mewtwo handles and the newest Smash Brothers.
And if he sounds like an old man or not. I gotta know, guys.
I think he may. Justin, are you downloading the code? That's for readers.
No, I am tweeting it out to let people know.
Okay.
Sam Purely Matt just gave out a code on our CoopaCast for Mewtwo on 3DS.
I would too, but my phone's so far away. Sorry, guys.
Oh well. Anyway, with that bit of news, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this CoopaCast. I
Let's
want to
talk.
thank once again all of our readers and listeners for reading and listening to yet another CoopaCast. I'd like to thank our panelists, Alex, Justin, and Caitlin, for joining us.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to watch more CoopaCast episodes, you can go to purenintendo.com/CoopaCast. If you'd like to talk to us, we always like interacting with our fans. We each have Twitter handles. You can see it below on each of our screens, or you can go to the staff page at purenintendo.com. If you have any other questions for us regarding the CoopaCast, any reader mail questions, you can always email us at podcast@purenintendo.com. So, with that, we will see you all in 2 weeks.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye,
Take
folks.
care, everybody.